Welcome to Oh Shit, What Now? The only podcast with two entrepreneurial mom friends with nine sons between them. We're tackling topics from raising kids to running a business. Our guests include some of the most impressive, accomplished women out there who did it all while being a mom. We're making space for all of us to listen, learn, and lift each other up while doling out advice, inspiration, and more than a few laughs. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Oh Shit, What Now? We are going international, you guys. Yay! We are sitting here with Prit Is, the marketing nomad, and she lives in India. So we have not just gone slightly global, we've gone all the way over to the other side of the world. And we're pretty excited that she has taken time out of her very into the nighttime to talk with us today. So welcome, Prit. Yes. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me here, Dorothy and Shannon. It's such an honor. I'm so, so excited to share my journey with your listeners. I'm such a huge fan of you guys. So I'm kind of like fangirling right now.
We're so popular.
Oh, yes, you are.
And I have to say here that Prit has a top 100 podcast in India. So this is coming with some major fangirlness here.
I'm totally stoked. I love that.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
So Bingo. Prit, tell us, you have this really cool journey. You are here. You're back there. You didn't take no for an answer and things that were coming down the pike to you. So tell us your entrepreneurial journey. Like, start it from right before you said, yeah, I'm going to do this and take us through.
Perfect. All righty. So I actually have an engineering degree. I did my engineering. Midway through my engineering, I was like, nope, this is not for me. I do not want to spend the next 40 years of my life doing this. And I would watch everyone else around me be so passionate about what they do. I mean, they loved engineering. I just didn't. And then somewhere along the line, I'd watched my parents grow up. Both of them are entrepreneurs themselves. So I said, okay, you know what? I have an interest in, you know, business, and I seem to have a knack for it. And I've grown up listening to their stories and how they've handled their business. So I said, okay, let me do my MBA right after engineering. So I did my engineering in India. I grew up in Singapore, did my engineering in India, and then I moved to New York. I moved to Rochester, New York, to do my MBA at Rochester Institute of Technology. So in my first SEM, in my first marketing class, I'm sitting there and I'm open and looking for something to be passionate about, to follow a route that I could see myself doing the next 40 years of my life, which was really important for me. I think for me, priority is to be happy, to feel fulfilled in however I want to take my life or whichever journey I want to take. So I'm sitting there in my first marketing class, and I was able to answer every single question my professor asked. And she was just trying to gauge the strength of the class and level of the class. And I was there just answering all her questions. And I realized that my entire life had come up to that moment. I had been so passionate about marketing all throughout my life. I just didn't know it was called marketing. I would take a note of Coca-Cola's branding campaign or something that maybe Pepsi and the Coke wore or something of that sort. And I would just register it, but I just didn't know it was called marketing. That's when I figured, okay, hey, I've got a passion for this. This is something that I'm really interested in. I mean, my whole life has led up to this moment. So I started, you know, putting all my thoughts and efforts into how I could take marketing to the next level, monetize my passion for marketing, basically. So I was super lucky, or rather, I think that my MBA effort and tears and blood and sweat, all of that, you know, led to...
There you go. Let's own that. Yes,
I'm going to own that. I think that's what this podcast is all about, right? So let's own that. Yes. So all my efforts led me to a full-time job, and it was one of the top solar firms in New York. It was on Long Island. Super, super happy at that job. I was on a student visa at that time. For an international student, you get 1 year of a student visa, and then you have to convert it into a work visa after 1 year. So I worked there for a year, and then my company was ready to sponsor and help me convert my student visa into a work visa. And when I realized that my work visa actually did not get processed, it meant that my student visa was going to run out and I couldn't stay in the country anymore. And it was, I felt it was really scary. It was confusing. It was traumatic. It was so traumatic. My friends were there. I had an amazing life. I had a job I loved. I had people I loved. My colleagues were amazing. I couldn't have asked a better professional or a personal life at that point in my life. And coming back, I could literally feel everyone's eyes on me. I think that there is a certain perception. I'm not saying if the perception is right or wrong. I'm saying that there is a perception that exists that you have to be in a certain country or in a certain place within a certain community to be successful. So everyone's eyes were on me saying, she has to leave this job. She has to leave the country. What is she going to do? I don't think she's going to make it. And my career had just started. I was just so excited.
It's what a terrible experience. I just brought this up in another podcast that I work with Brazilians a lot in a Brazilian company, and they face this all the time. But it doesn't stop the work that we do now because you're able to do it from anywhere. But what a terrible experience for you.
Oh, it was.
And so to get you to be the marketing nomad and where you are right now, that's the story I'm interested in. Like, how did you get such a setback and now you're sitting here with us?
Yeah, so that's when I realized that I was going back to step zero. I was literally at level zero. Nothing to do, no way out. I had to get my resume ready, do the work, you know, submitting your resume process all over again, which I'm sure all of you will know that it's horrible. It's really horrible process, you know? You put yourself out there, you go to interviews, and then you hear nothing, or the minute you say you say your expectations, it's by the door shut on your face. So I just went through that process less than a year ago, and I didn't want to go through that process. And then that's when it hit me that I was already at the bottom. Like, I was already ground zero. Why not I start something on my own? I had a plan to start something on my own 5 years down the line. I was going to work for 5 years and then I was going to start something on my own. And I said, I'm already at bottom. I'm already at level zero. I can't go further below than this. So why not I start something? I see how it goes for a year. I'm going to give it my everything. We'll see how it goes. If it doesn't work out, I can always fall back to setting my resume, putting it out on LinkedIn and going forth from there. I could always do that a year from now. But if I did take this chance right now, then maybe I'm going to regret. And I think that because I was in that entirely emotional state, everyone was looking at me. It was quite a public affair, I guess I would say, because it's a pretty big thing to happen. And I felt everyone's eyes on me. I was upset. I was devastated. I was angry because I just didn't know what was happening. So I think I fueled all of that trauma basically into starting afresh. I said, I'm going to do this. And I think because of that anger and that frustration that I had, that everyone was telling me that I could not be successful in a different place, I said, I'm going to be a digital nomad. I'm going to make sure that I am successful regardless of where I am in the world. And I'm going to make sure that my business knows no borders. And that's how I actually started.
I got chills again. I love that so many women that we talk to come from a place of trauma and make something so much better. And this podcast in particular, I really hope that the listeners that we don't ever talk to get from you what I'm getting, the chills. Like, this is it. This is that moment when there's this traumatic thing. And what you went through, most of us don't have to experience. So it's such an uplifting podcast for me to be involved in today because I need to hear your voice. We all need to hear these stories. Yeah.
Thank you.
It makes it possible for everyone else when just one person breaks that barrier and to say, I'm just going to do this no matter where I am. Huge.
Thank you so much, Shannon. So,
you know, I'm curious, how common is it to be a young woman entrepreneur in India?
Yeah, that's got to be
like it's getting more and more typical or common here in the U.S. But what about where you are? Was that yet another barrier? Or did you, because your parents were entrepreneurs, were you already in that circle, in that thought process?
Or is it more pressure?
Yeah, or is it more pressure?
Oh God. So many questions.
I know. You were saying, you know, all the eyes were on you and you felt that. And I know what that feels like. I think we all know what that feels like.
Yes.
Going home to India, was it 100 times worse because you have a big family there or that your family is successful there? Is that why?
My family, yes. I don't have a big family. We're a nuclear family. But yes, my family is successful. And we moved to India when I was about 11 and they have been very successful. Like I've seen them in the low points of their entrepreneurial journey. I've also seen them in the extreme highs of their entrepreneurial journey. So I guess looking at them, I knew that you can be successful as an entrepreneur in India, but I wasn't sure if I could create a company that had no borders. That was a little bit of, can I do that? Is that even possible? And there is no shortage of women entrepreneurs in India. But the thing is that I didn't personally know anyone. I always looked at them. I read news articles about them and magazine articles about them. And I thought they had superpowers. Honestly, you can literally see me, you know, wide-eyed looking, just reading their story. And I thought they had superpowers. So I'm like, okay, will I be able to do what they have achieved? And I think that, you know, there are powerful women entrepreneurs to look up to, whether it's in India, whether it's in United States, whether it's Brazil, there is no shortage of women entrepreneurs. But I think here's the important thing that all of us need to realize is that each one of us have it in us. They all had their own differences, their own circumstances holding them back. And that was unique to them. And they still made it against all odds. And I think at that point, if I have to go back in time and tell myself or talk to myself 2 years ago, I think that's something that I would have said, that you are your own superpower. The way that you are, the circumstances that block you, the circumstances that make you who you are, that is your superpower. And that is unique to you. And I wish I had been in that mindset at that point.
What did it take for you to get to that point?
Oh, okay.
What got you there? Yeah.
I was going to say, we've all had that. We've all been in that place of the oh shit, what now? Now what do
I
do?
Yes.
What Dorothy said, how did you get here?
Well, I think it was ridiculous optimism. I would definitely say a lot of optimism. Yeah. But at the same time, like I said, I think it was moving ahead despite the fear, despite not knowing or not having a plan fully formed. I just said, okay, this is my end goal. I want to create a business that's an online business. No borders. I'm going to be a digital entrepreneur. So I've got my end goal set. My plan up until there has not been set, and that's okay. I'm going to figure it out as and when I go. And I think that optimism and that belief in myself and moving forward despite being so afraid. I think I was really afraid. I'm not even going to lie and kid about it. It was really scary. It was very
scary.
Well,
you know what I like? That you're being honest about that, because like you said, how you were like, I got lucky and I got this job. Well, that's how everybody, when they're talking to a successful person, is like, oh, you're so lucky. If I could just get my visa not reviewed and have to go home. No, if I could just have a family that supported me, if I could just have this, I would be there. Well, that's not the case. So to go back to the place of fear, and you know, your family is a nuclear family. You don't want to be with your family forever or working for them or whatever. It's good to hear that part of the story, because you don't want people to think she's so lucky. She's just so smart. She went to RIT. She did this. She did that. No, you worked really hard to get there.
I did.
It's uplifting talking to you. I can't say that I went into this interview uplifted, but you have like this magic
Buoyancy.
Thank you.
Buoyancy.
It sounds like a buoyancy. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm sure that is what's helping you as your superpower, but I'm sure you didn't have it at that moment. So take us up to your point of success, and how is it that you got this success?
Okay, perfect. So I think that the fundamental mindset shift that I had to make is I had to stop looking at myself as a woman entrepreneur. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but I feel that when you keep thinking of yourself as a woman entrepreneur, you start nitpicking on all the things that are stopping you from being successful because or in spite of you being a woman. I just thought of myself as an entrepreneur, period. I didn't care if there was a gender associated to my tag or whatnot. I was just an entrepreneur. And I think just being in that mindset, I was able to blaze my way. If there was something in my path, I didn't think that, oh, this is in my path because I'm a woman or because I'm a certain gender, whatever gender I identify with. And it was just, I am facing this block because I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own unique set of skills. I have my own unique set of weaknesses, including the race that I come from, the religion. All of those are different, are so unique to me. They can be my strengths at the same time. They can pose a block on the way. So whatever that is, that's unique to me. I'm an entrepreneur first, regardless of any other tag. And the minute I felt that, the minute I just had that mindset shift, any problem that came my way, if I could not overcome it, I would at least find ways to work around it. And I think that was the biggest and the best mindset shift that I made. So every time someone tells me, oh, I'm a woman entrepreneur, I honestly don't like to look at it that way. You are an entrepreneur, period. The minute you start giving tags or labels and whatnot, I think it just complicates your own vision of where you want to get to. So it becomes like a mindset block. Yeah. It is an absolute block.
And you start to find the blocks, yes. I think, because yes. you're starting to identify them out there and saying, yes. oh, I'm a woman, so I will be up against X, yes. Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I think that was the biggest and the best mindset shift. So answering your question, of course, when I first started out, I wanted to eventually be a marketing strategy consultant, which is what I am right now. But I couldn't just directly jump into that. I had to take baby steps. And I think that was one of the crucial positive things that I did. So I knew I couldn't directly jump into that. So I started freelancing. I started putting my profile up on every freelance profile website that you could find. Everywhere I was there, I was looking, I was job hunting, like looking for projects, basically. I was telling all my friends and families, I was not ashamed of the fact that I was going to be an entrepreneur. I owned up to that right from the start. I did not tell it in whispers or something. No, I was bold. I was out there.
How do we do that?
I don't know.
We do do that.
Yes, I think we're so
scared. I own my own business, but.
Exactly. I never did that.
It could look like, I, in my mind, think maybe we're not hireable. That's why we have to go out there and be entrepreneurs. And that's so not the truth.
No, that's not the truth.
Some situations, you just don't want to be hireable, maybe in a corporate 9-to-5. Do you know what I mean? Like, why would you want to pigeonhole yourself? But it's so freeing to be an entrepreneur, but you can put yourself in your own little cage and the beautiful bird doesn't sing his song about the person that caged them. So we do it to ourselves. We are caging our own beautiful little bird. Isn't that?
Yes, that is.
Oh, I just came up with that.
That was profound. Thanks.
It's really good.
She must
good
have had her second cup of coffee today.
Yeah, I'm like pounding it over here. And I still have my Christmas stuff out. Like, oh, my Christmas. Oh, please.
That's funny. We've been talking a lot with other guests about manifestation.
Yes.
Shannon likes to call it magic manifestation. But I almost feel like that's the other side of this where we're talking about putting your own blocks in place. But did you, and it sounds like you did, you were like, nope, I'm going to get this done and that's where I'm going. Do you feel that played a huge part? And do you still put that manifestation to use where you're like, I want this goal, I'm going to, you know, write it down or speak it to the world or whatever? Do you embrace that kind of thing?
It's really, really funny you asked that. When I was 7 years old, someone asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I just said, the boss. And then over
I love it.
The years. Because at that time, I think my parents were working for a company. They had not yet started their entrepreneurial journey. So every time my dad had to work late or something like that, he's like, the boss is calling me or the boss is asking me to do this. So I think when I was 7, around that time, somebody asked me who I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, the boss. And then over time, it became the CEO. And I don't know, somewhere inside me, I think I was manifesting it. I think, and this is one of the biggest truths of my life, I think that you set an intention and the universe just works its way to bring you what you want. It can be the most painful, the most gut-wrenching journey, but it will eventually lead you to where you are. I don't know how I knew, but I knew I was going to be a CEO by the age of 27. I don't know how I knew that. It was just a number I had in my head. And it turns out that every single time in my life that I have broken down or I felt that there was no way out, it has actually led me to where I am today. There are so many things that I have just manifested and I can't even believe that it is my reality at this moment. And manifestation is a huge part of my journey. It's something that I continue to do as well.
Yeah, I was never really good at it. Because I think part of it too is you can't just put out this manifestation and say, oh yeah, there it is. And universe, take that away. You have to have the intention behind it.
You're CFO. There's no way that you're manifesting anything. There better be some hard numbers to that goal.
Right? Right? But here's the thing though. Like I'm a second generation broadcaster, right? My dad was in broadcasting for 40 years. And when I was a kid and someone asked me what I wanted to be, it was sportscaster. I want to be a sports anchor. And my dad was like, well, first of all, you're a girl. So no, he was old school. And secondly, he was like, you're not camera ready. Like you're not attracted enough to be on air. And I was like, holy crap. Right. So that shot me into this weird space the whole rest of my life until like 5 years ago when I brought it up to him again. And he was like, you never listened to anything I said. You held on to that. Like, what are you crazy? But I feel like it was still out there and it was still had my, however many 40 something years later, it was still in my head. And now I have two different podcasts. I'm on podcasts all the time. So in some weird way, the universe was like, here you go. You know, you've got some part of this at this point in life, but it's true. I think you have to keep it in your focus.
Did someone say anything profound to you, Prit, like when you were young and like you were saying, I'm the boss or I want to be the boss or the CEO? Did you remember anyone supporting that? Did you have a supportive network of people? There's a big difference in how you're raised and how you manifest. Because I think we all are little magical things when we're young, especially girls. I see little girls being very magical, very cosmic and all this. Boys are pretty down and dirty. They just come out of the womb rough and ready. So girls are so much more complicated. And it's that one little thing somebody can say that just takes the sparkle right away, like what Dorothy just said. Did you have moments like that growing up, or was it more supportive? Because it seems like you had a supportive network.
Yes. I mean, my parents, they've never said no to anything that I said I wanted to do. I mean, I told my mom, I called her up. I was crying on the phone when I was in New York. I'm like, I'm going to start my own business. And then she said, okay, what do you need? And that's it. Like, it was not even like a second of doubt.
I had chills with that one.
You know, it was like, she just, that's when I was like, wait, what? You know, I stopped crying and I was like, what's happening? You know? And then I said, okay, I'm going to start my own podcast after I came here. And then she said, okay, what do you need? Then I said, I want to set up my Etsy shop. Okay. What do you need? I want to be a content creator. Okay. What do you need? Not even a second of hesitation. And I'm so blessed. Both my parents have never, ever given me that feeling that they had any hesitation in what I could achieve. And I think that was so important for me. As far as external people, oh my God, there were so many people that were always trying to put me down because I had a very strong personality. I do have a very strong personality. And I do know now that there is something about me that it just, I can walk into a room and I know that there will be people looking at me. And
you're either going to be loved or hated.
Exactly. Absolutely. When you have a personality like that, and I don't think that growing up, the people around me could understand what that was. Over time, I was able to find a good network of friends. But while growing up, yes, I had a lot of people who would always keep saying the meanest things to me. And always try to put me down, always try to dampen the fire. But I was very lucky to have very supportive parents who I think they were my, you know, first barricade. They would just stand right in front and say, no, you know what? You want to do it. If you think it, you can do it. They never let me feel that I was a girl. I had different opportunities. Nothing. I never felt that ever.
No, you hear about India, that it's very formal. That girls don't have the opportunities. And what I'm hearing from you is completely the opposite. And we talk about generations and breaking these generational curses. Yes. It sounds to me like your parents did that.
Yes,
like they did. Your parents seem like very forward-thinking, almost American parents, which is why
better.
Americans
get yeah, better. Better,
smarter, harder working.
No, I have to interject over here. I think that my grandmom broke the generational curse. My grandmom has her own, my dad's mom. She was a freedom fighter. She's actually gone to jail for the freedom of India. I am not kidding. I'm super proud of her. And she had a master's in mathematics. She had a PhD in English. And she was a teacher. Like, she used to teach teachers how to teach. So I think all my life, I guess I have tried to emulate her in some way. So I think that's why my parents and even my mom's dad, super educated. He made sure my mom had an engineering degree. Both my parents are engineers, by the way. So they never put a full stop to my parents' education. And I think that is where it came from. I don't think it came from my parents. I think it came from their parents' parents. And they were just carrying the torch, which I hope to do someday as well.
Oh, you will. And education is such an important piece.
It is. It is. So that's where, you know, it comes from. That's where the thought process comes from. So while you're saying, yes, there are a few challenges that Indian women face, you know, I come from a privileged background where I didn't face that with my own parents. But yes, we have to acknowledge that there are Indian women out there who struggle to even convince their own parents or their loved ones that they have to follow their own passion. And my heart truly goes out to them. Definitely, if anyone's listening and you want to talk to me about it, definitely come on and talk to me about it. But yes, it is hard. We have to acknowledge that. But the world is changing. And I think if you ask me, like, my deeper mission is to set an example for those little Indian girls out there that you don't have to be in any part of the world. You will be successful. The world has changed. We are in such a different exposure, the atmosphere that we are in with globalization, with the internet. Everything can be done just with just a phone. Even you don't even need to go for a laptop, just need internet, just need a phone, and you can do it. You can absolutely do it. So it's like kind of my dream that I hope that someday some little girl, some little Indian girl, she looks up and then she says, well, she did it, so you know what, I'm gonna do it,
just like those women that you looked up at.
Absolutely. You know the those people with superpowers in my mind. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. You're somebody else's
you
superpower.
Are, yeah. And I guarantee there's already little girls around you that are like, wow, she's amazing.
Thank you.
I think you're amazing.
How global are you? Like, we keep talking about no borders and things like that, but
yes.
How many countries have you touched?
So I have touched about 8 different countries at the moment. I've worked with 60 plus clients in the last 2 years as a strategy consultant. So 8
nice.
Different countries and counting.
Do you think, since that seems to encompass the entire pandemic that we've been, do you think that, yes. that the pandemic actually might have helped people realize that they can work virtually with you rather than pre-COVID when we were all thinking we had to sit in a conference room or something to talk to someone about this stuff?
Yes, absolutely. I hope that we are moving to out of it and stuff like that.
Right,
but
yeah.
Yes, it did facilitate the mindset change in some of the bigger clients, I guess I would say, because all of the small business owners, they knew that they had to get onto marketing. They knew they needed a digital marketing expert to help them. Some of them didn't even have a website. All they had was just a brick and mortar shop, and their website was just, you know, come later or come by later or unavailable. So they had to start from there, and they didn't even have a strategy, no clue. They were doing really well with the amount of foot in the store, but they just didn't know what to do when the pandemic hit. So I guess being open to hiring a digital marketing expert, really, the pandemic really helped with that. And of course, you know, working online, there's a lot of trust that needs to be built because, well, you can't physically see me. You can't see my body language and all of those things. And that's when I started all my social media pages so that people can get to know me as a person. And, you know, that way they'll be more comfortable and they would build that trust throughout. So the pandemic did help in a way, though. For a little while there, my business did struggle, complete full transparency. when before the vaccines were announced and people didn't know how long the pandemic was going to go for, and then they needed to save money. So yes, my business took a hit at that point. But the minute the vaccines were announced and there was a little bit of hope around the world in the future, then again, business picked up.
It's good to be transparent when things aren't going well, because it can't go well all the time.
Absolutely.
And so many people faced that, oh my God, now what are we going to do?
Yes.
They have a brick and mortar store. I work with a lot of e-commerce businesses.
Yes.
But even with that, now we've got hackers that are like full steam ahead.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
There's a career. But the pandemic, I think it brought us closer and sometimes further apart, but most of it closer, and especially for yourself. My God, you're getting to touch all over the place, but there is a disconnect when you cannot be with people in person.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm actually coming, and I'm sure a lot of people are coming around to the other side of it, where I was really enjoying my not having to travel. Now I really miss people.
Yes.
Which is weird. I don't usually do that. Are you feeling that? Can you travel at all outside of India right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, at the moment, like right now, no, because the lockdown has just been announced.
Yeah.
But as of when this is recording, but for a little while there, yes, they were allowing international travel. Part of my name is Nomad. And basically, I started this business with the intention of marketing, like helping businesses across the world with their marketing as well as traveling. So yeah. I've been trying to balance, of course, with the pandemic, the Nomad parts a little bit on the back right now. We're just waiting.
2 years later.
2 years later, still waiting.
Who would have thought?
The energy that we're going to have when we can travel.
Absolutely.
The things that we're going to want to see. I mean, I think that'll be such a boon to your business. People will be like, come on. Yes,
absolutely.
We want you to come from India.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Awesome. Where can our listeners connect with you, knowing full well that you are the Nomad? And I welcome everybody to reach out to you via all your channels so that they can be international themselves. I mean, let's all embrace the
international
thing.
Let's think of the young girls listening. The young girls that are listening, how can they find you?
Absolutely. So basically, if you type The Marketing Nomad anywhere, you'll find me. Like on Instagram, I'm there as The Marketing Nomad. Instagram's more of my place where I show my goofy self. I'm quite goofy, guys. So I'm doing Bollywood dancing. I'm doing all sorts of nonsense. I'm just showing my life as an entrepreneur. And so I also do have my podcast. It's called The Marketing Nomad Show, where I give marketing mindset and business tips to small business owners across the world. I think I've hit like 147 cities on my podcast in the 1 year that it has been. That is also something that I was actually quite proud of. And then I'm on Etsy as well, where I sell digital products to entrepreneurs and small business owners to help them with their social media and with their marketing. See, like, for example, Instagram story templates or 365 content ideas for the entire year, so that you can never run out of content ideas for your social media as a business owner. So it's mostly digital products. How to create an online course. I have like an entire workbook for you as well, if you are interested in that. So I'm The Marketing Nomad Shop. So those are different things that I do on Etsy. And then I'm a YouTuber as well. I'm a podcaster. So YouTube's more of me starting conversations that people are uncomfortable to talk about, or not many people talk about, you know, how to find your passion, or, you know, how to deal with toxicity in your life, how to remove it, how to have mindset shifts for success. All of those things are what I talk on my YouTube channel. And then, of course, I have my website, which is www.themarketingnomad.co, where you can find access to everything. I have blogs, I have my podcast on there, everything's on there just to help small businesses across the world. And of course, if they want help, they can always book strategy calls with me as well.
Well, and I'm looking at both your Instagram and your website, and it is fantastic.
Thank you.
You are adorable.
Oh, thank you.
And clearly not working hard enough, because I mean, there are so many gaps in your time right now. Well, thank you so much for being on with us today. We really appreciate it. And you are, it is a very inspiring story, and it was very, very uplifting. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shannon and Dorothy, for having me. It's an absolute honor. Like I said, absolute fangirling over here. Thank you guys so much. I hope that my story inspired your listeners. And of course, definitely do reach out to me, even if it's to say hi. I'm a pretty chill person and I like talking to people too. So yeah, just feel free to say hi.
Cool. Well, I got chills no less than 5 times during this call. So I'm going to be stalking you now.
Aww,
I
need more thank friends. You.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss an episode of Oh Shit, What Now? And don't forget to connect with us on socials and rate our podcast. This podcast is a production of DK East Media and is edited and produced by Ultra Everything.